Okay, Rabbi, today's daf is daf Lamed Hey. We're starting at the Mishnah on Lamed Dalid Amid Beis. Zok the Mishnah. Nosel Amigdal the Ovid HaMafteach. A person went and put the Erev inside a Migdal. A Migdal in this case means like an anwar, like in a closet, but out in the open. The Ovid HaMafteach, and he lost the key. Oy, 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 now we're of Tzuris. How is the Erev? Even though there is no key, he can't get to his Erev. It's still a good Erev. And the obvious question is, why? We'll see that in a moment.
The Erev is locked into the cabinet?
Right, in the cabinet, and he doesn't have the key. Reb Elezer Oymim, any Yodei Shemavtech B'mkoyim, if he can't find the key, if he doesn't know that the Mavtech is in its place, any Erev. Bottom line, Yav Machloikis Tanakam, Reb Elezer, we're missing the key. Says the Tanakama, it's still a good Erev. The Blazer says, if you don't have no key, then you have no Erev, any Erev. Unfortunately, Rabbi Yisai, I can't go and mute everyone. I think David Fishman is not muted, so maybe he can please mute himself. Okay, Zuki Mar. Vamai. Why does the Tanakama say, how is the Erev? Hubamokim Echod, Beruvim Mimokim Acherhu. After all, he is in one place, and the Erev is in another place. We don't mean physically. He might be 10 inches away from the Erev, because if the Erev is in a cabinet, he just can't reach it because he doesn't have the key. They're in Mokem Echad. But Rashi says, since he cannot reach it, Havale Kishnei Mekoymais. It has a status as if it is in two places. You can't get it, you can't get it. So, how does the Tanakh come to say that it's an Erev? Everyone Avish Mudyamar Tabai. Hachal Migdal Shalavena Maskinan. The Migdal that we're talking about is not a closet or cabinet made out of wood. It's made out of bricks. It's a real brick structure. So how does that help? Rameir Yidiyama Peira Poiches the Chachil Benoitel. Our Mishnah goes according to Rameir that says that you can go and remove the bricks at will and you can go and take out the Erev. Now, how can you go and remove the bricks? After all, this is a brick structure. And the Gemara is going to tell us another 2-3 lines. It's talking about that the bricks were put in without cement. So therefore, it's easy to go and take out the bricks and put them back in. As the Gemara explains, that not. We have a similar concept in Mishnah Maseches Deyah. To not buy Shemalu, Peiros. You have a house. It's full of Peiros. In other words, it's a storage bin, it's a storage house. Lots of payers. But it's awesome. It's locked. You cannot get to the payers. The Nifchas, and then on Yontif, there was a building collapse, and therefore, you now are able to get to the payers. Says the Tanakam, you can go and take the payers. It's not a problem. Wherever the building has collapsed partially, put your hand in, take out the payers. I'm a chayim. Now that's not that much of a chiddush. The chiddush is Rameir Oymer Poiches Fenoitel Lechatchila. The Meir says even if the building is totally intact, you can put your hand in and you can go and snatch out some of the payers. Ah, so just like Rameir says over there, when you have a house, you can go and demolish part of the house by taking out some bricks and taking out some payers. Here too, you can demolish partially the house by putting your hand in, by removing the bricks and taking out the Erev.
Same thing with the basket.
Same thing with the basket. Freitim over Rav Nachman Ado Omer Shmuel Ba'avira de Livni. One second, Rav Nachman Ado Omer Shmuel said, when did Rameir say you can go and remove some of the bricks? That's Dafka when the bricks happen to be put in one on top of the other without any cement. Avira de Livni means that there's plenty of air between the bricks because there's no cement between the bricks. But what does that have to do with our case? And our case is also talking about that there is no cement between the bricks. So both in our case and in the case of Masechtas Beah, says Rameir, put your hand in, pull out 3, 4, 5, 10 bricks, and take out the Erev, so that you, in that case, take out the Peiros, and here take out the Erev.
There's no fear of the whole structure collapsing?
Or? No fear. And if so, he stands back, so if it collapses, it shouldn't go on top of it.
Rabbi Eliezer, if it's not attached together, there's no cement.
Oh, so Rabbi Eliezer holds that either this happens to be Osir because of the fact that even this is called Stira. As you know, on Shabbos and in Yontif, there's an Issur Melacha of boina and stira. So he says that even though there is no cement between it, it's still stira because you're demolishing part of the building. Or he could hold maybe it's not diaraisa, maybe he holds it's dirabbanan. Why would it be dirabbanan? It's gezeira otu, a case where there would be cement. If you're going to start telling people you're allowed to start demolition partially, I'm just going to move 5 or 10 bricks. So somebody else will understand that to mean take a chisel and start chiseling out a few bricks, even if there is cement in between. Frank Dimarvam Rav Zaira, beyond the Vavram Rav Shabbos. Rav Zaira, when he was referring to. Anybody have a question? Omer Rav Zaira, beyond the Vavram, that the halacha that we just quoted now from Mesechus Bey is only on Yontif, but not on Shabbos. Shabbos, you wouldn't be able to go and remove those bricks. Then what's the difference between Yontif and Shabbos? So, in fact, there are two pshatim over here. One pshat is a pshat of Rashi. For those of you that have the Moisif Rashi or Likute Rashi, Rashi brings. Let's see if we have it over here. He only brings part of the Rashi over here, but Rashi in Mesechtes Beis says that the difference between Shabbos and Yontif is that the Choyra, the Levenim, the bricks themselves are Muktza, because they are part of the binyan. So how can you go and take the Muktza, putting aside all other Inyonim? So says Rashi in Mesechtes Beis that Shabbos is Taka Muktza, we were not Matir. But Yontif, since it's Melechas Oichel Nefesh, we want to get to the food, and any Melechas Oichel Nefesh is Mutter, so Mavach, you're allowed to go and cook, and you're allowed to go and Shecht, and you're allowed to go and bake on Yontif, of course, of Oichel Nefesh. But certainly the dinner Muktza is also go away on Yontif. So that's why on Yontif you can go and dismantle the bricks, take out your Erev, take out your Peirois, but you can't do that on Shabbos. That's how Rashi learns in Mesechtes Beis. Rashi over here learns a little bit differently and learns that on Shabbos you have the Isra Melacha of Stira. Stira means to go and demolish, but you don't have that in connection with Yontif. What's the difference between Shabbos and Yontif? Shabbos, again, they were Goyzer or to regular Stira of a regular binyan. But Yontif, they were not Goyzer because, after all, Yontif is a little bit more lenient than Shabbos. But bottom line is, after everything is said and done, whatever the reason is, the only reason why you can go and take out the Peiros according to a Meir is because there it's a Yontif. Here in Lechoira, we're talking about Lechoira Hilcha Shabbos. So how could you go and take out part of the wall to be able to remove the Eruv? Everything more, Hachanami Yontif, Enochanami, our Mish is talking about Yontif. After all, the name of our Mesechta is not Shabbos. The name of our Mesechta is Eruvin. So Eruvin applies both to Shabbos and to Yontif. Particularly, Eruv Tchumen applies to both. So therefore, our Mishnah is talking exclusively on Yontif. So on Yontif, if you can't get to your Eruv because you lost the key, and luckily your cabinet happens to be with removable bricks, remove the bricks, take out the Eruv. Frank Dimar, you're telling me that our Mishnah is talking about a case of Yontif. It says in the Breiser, Blazer Oimer, in Be'ir, Avad Eruvei Erev, in Baseda Sode, Avad Ein Eruvei Erev. Reb Lezer says it depends, where did you lose your key? Was it in the city, or whether it was in the field? If it was in the city, then it's okay. If it's in the field, it's not okay. What's it in between the field and the city? Says Rashi, because this Reb Lezer holds like Reb Shimon. Reb Shimon, you remember, we've had always from time to time, he says that Gagois, Karkfifois, and Chatzeirois, Rishus Achas, saying the Gabi Hilchus Shabbos. So therefore, if it turns out that you lost your key, and the key is in the Chotzer, you can take it into the Gag, you can take it into the Karfif, and you can go and bring it to the point where we'll be able to go and open up the Migdal. So you have, Baruch Hashem, the key. But if you lost the key and you find it in the Sada, then you won't be able to go and bring it in to the city. And that to get to open up the cabinet. And therefore, says So this distinction between ear and soda, whether or not, again, here not talking about the demolition of the bricks. Here we're talking about Baruch Hashem, you were able to find the key. So says Reb Lezer, if it's Be'ir Ovad, Eruv Eiviv, because if and when you find the key, you'll be able to go and bring it to open up the cabinet. But if in the Sada, you won't be able to go and bring it over to open the cabinet, because you won't have the benefit of Reb Shimon's Gagos Karfifois, the Chatzeiros, Rishus Achasei. Zokti Gemara, all of those distinctions make sense on Shabbos, when Shabbos there's a problem in carrying. The in Beyontif, Mali Ir, Mali Sada, on Yontif you'll have to carry anywhere and everywhere. So what's this distinction of Blaz is making between Ir and Sada? Says Gemara, absolutely right. We have to start our Mishnah again. We're going to have to add a whole bunch of words to the Mishnah. Zok the Mishnah Nosnim b'Migdol. If you put the Eruv away in a Migdol, Migdol again is a cabinet. But Noel b'Fonav and he locked it. The oven of Mafteach and he lost the key. What do we do now? State in the Mishnah Hari Zeh Eruv. The Eruv is still a good Eruv. Why is the Eruv still a good Eruv? Because you could always go and open up the wall by taking out a few of the bricks. But you're only allowed to do that, says the Braisa, says the Gemara, says the Mishnah, and the Barmur, and beyond it. Only Yom to be allowed to go and demolish by removing some of the bricks. Al B'Shabbos, Ein Eruv V'Eruv. Shabbos, you cannot remove the bricks. Like the top Rashi says, Leishoru Le'Rabbanu Le'Mister.
Only on Yom Tov you can remove the bricks if there's no cement?
Exactly. But not on Shabbos. So since Shabbos is more Chomer than Yom Tov, the Chacham permitted you to remove the bricks on Yom Tov, but not on Shabbos. Shabbos ain't a ruvayev. Now says the Gemara, says right to the Mishnah, Nimta Mafteach. What happens if you find the key? Bein Be'ir, Bein Besoda, ain't a ruvayev. Now when did you find the key? It doesn't say, but if you look at Rashi, Nimta Mafteach, B'Shabbos. If you find the Mafteach on Shabbos, then both Be'ir or both Basoda ain't a ruvayev. Because Shabbos you cannot carry. Reb Lezer Oimer, Be'ir Eruv Ve'Erev. Besoda ain't Eruv Ve'Erev. No. In the ear it would be a good Erev, because even though you're not allowed to carry, but we go according to Reb Shimon. To Reb Shimon says, Echad Gagas Ve'Echad Chatzeres. So the Gemara brings momentarily. Besoda you don't have the benefit of the Echad Gagas Chatzeres and Karfifois, therefore ain't Eruv Ve'Erev. Explains the Gemara. Again, what's Pshat Reb Lezer? Be'ir Eruv Ve'Erev, Kereb Shimon. The Amr Echad Gagos, the Echad Chatzit, the Echad Karfifa, the Shusacha, the same occasion of the Besoychon, the Sada Eina Ruviyarev Kira Bonon, not like Reb Shimon. So, bottom line is, we have Raboisai, the Pshat in our Mishnah, going back to the Mishnah just for a short moment. You put the Eruv away in the closet. You can't open the closet, the cabinet, because you lost your key. So now you have two possible Eitzes. Eitze number one is you can go and do partial demolition. Says Ramei, yes, this is permissible. Ramei Lishitose that says the same thing in Mesechus Beit. But this is only on Yontif, and only in a case where there was no cement. However, with cement, it would be prohibited, and in Shabbos, even without cement, it would be prohibited. Only on Yontif without cement. Reb Lezer disagrees, and he says, even under those circumstances, it's osur. What did we talk about mit the ear and mit the soda? That's talking about, says the Braiser or the Mishnah, that if instead of this happening on Yontif, it happened on Shabbos, and you find the key, okay, so then if it's Be'ir, you have an Eitzah, Gagas, Chaseiris, Chafifois, but if it's Besoda, you don't have that Eitzah, because Reb Lezer says, I hold like Reb Shimon, and that Eitzah of Reb Shimon only helps by an ear and not by a field. So that's Pshat number one in the Mishnah. It was a bias made out of, or a Migdol made out of Levainim, out of bricks. But now we have a brand new pshat, Rabbi Rav Yosef Yom Travayu, Hochla Migdol Shul Eitza Skinan. We're talking about that this cabinet was made out of wood. So what's the machlekes? The Marasava Klihu Vein Binyan Bekele Vein Stira Bekele Marasava Oyelu Uveplukta Dani Tanoi. This Migdol was very large. It's like the Shida Teva Migdol that we always speak about, that had the volume of 40 Sa'ah. Very, very large. Can't easily transport it. What Shaila is, what status does it have? Lamais, it's a kli. It's intended to go and use like a cabinet, like a closet, to put things away. On the other hand, it's so heavy, it's 40 saw, especially if you put contents in it. Can you imagine you have a mikveh 40 saw? Try to go and move the mikveh from place to place. It'd be impossible. So then, Does it have a din of a kli, or does it have a din of an oyel? Ah, so what's the nafki min a kli or oyel? Zog the Gemara. The maris of a kli hu. According to the Tanakhama of our Mishnah, this migdal has the status of a kli, and therefore ein binyan became him, ein stira became him. You're allowed to partially demolish it, go and break through the wood, pull one of the doors off of its hinges. How can you do that? It's a chadin of boina and stira on Shabbos. Boina and stira on Shabbos, and even on Yontif, is only by an oil, only by a bias. But not if it's a kli. A kli, if you went and removed the part of it by damaging it and demolishing it, that's okay, according to the this man diyama. Ein binyan became, and stira became. Amar sava oilu, the other man diyama, Rebbeleze said, oh no, this says it did just like an oil. If it has a din of an oil, then avad is a din of boina v'soyser on Shabbos and on Yat. So Yomar v'pluk tani tanoi, we find the same machloikis, elsewhere the gabi hilchais tumma v'tahara. Where do we find the machloikis? Is it not? A mishnah besechtes zovim, hikish al gabi shidatev v'migdol. What happens if you have a zov, and he is banging with his fist on the shidatev v'migdol? And Rashi says, it's talking about he didn't actually touch it with his hand, because if he did, then you'd be talking about Tumas Maga. So he's wearing, says Rashi, either a Besiad, Besiad means he's wearing a glove, or he's hitting it with a piece of eitz. He has a piece of wood, and he's banging it with the wood. Okay, so what's the halacha now? Zoktatani kami, migdol tmein. This shidatev migdol becomes tamei, just by the fact that he went and knocked against it. Reb Shimon said that it's tohar. Zok the Gemara, why does the Tanakhama hold Temeim? So Trashim Nisha Heitzitan. Heitzitan means because he was able to move it. This Zov apparently was a fairly strong fellow, and he was knocking against the Sheet of David Migdal, even though it's 40 so'ah in volume, very, very large, very big. He's a strong guy. He gave it a punch, and it actually moved. So according to Tanakhama, it's a tumas hesed that you find by yourself. Hesed means to move something. And it's stomach. The Nechem Reb Shimon holds it star. Now the question is, what's the machlokes? My love, Bakhtin. Mar Sabar, the Tanakhama holds that this sheet of David Migdal has the din of a kli. So it's no different than any other kli that a zov would go and push and move. Becomes stomach. No, it's like a building. A building, if you go and push a building, even if you're able to move the building, nevertheless, the halacha is, it is tohar. Because it's an oil, it's not a kli. You see sometimes in the morning, those people that are doing, the joggers that are rushing, and they're rushing, running back and forth, and after they're finished, then they try to start pushing the buildings. And you'll notice they try very, very hard, but the buildings usually do not move.
I think they're stretching.
Oh, they're doing it because they're trying to stretch. Well, the mice said the building doesn't move.
No.
Here we're talking about that this fellow was a strong fellow. He banged on the sheet of David Migdal, and in fact it moved. Says the Tanakam, it's tummy because it has a din of a kli. Say the other man, the Yomrim, Rab Yeshua, Rab Nechemia, and Rab Shimon, that it's tar because it's a din of an oil, and even if it moved, it's still tar. Therefore, Therefore, the Gemara says that that's the machlokes in our Mishnah too. Even though our Mishnah is not talking about din of tumah, but it's talking about the din of eruvin. But it's the same principle that according to the first man, the Yomar, you're allowed to go and demolish part of the migdal of eitz to be able to go and get out the eruv, because you're not over the din of soiser. Soiser is only by a binyan. It's not by a kli. It's based on that you have the modern day shilas, whether you're allowed to go and on Shabbos or in Yontif break open a food box, for instance. You want to get out the contents of the food. Hey, you're demolishing it. You're tearing it. How can you do that? But there are many, many shilas involved. Don't learn halacha lemaisa about the tearing. You have a shilah of kareya and choytech and mechika. But when, in those circumstances, when you're able to go and open up a bottle of wine, you'll have to go and pull it up with the cork, with a corkscrew. How are you allowed to go and do that? Isn't it a soisa? No, this is all kalim. And Rashi says even by kalim there are various gezeiros mishum soiser of a binyan diaraisa, but by food, by simchas yontem, voynik shabbos, they're not machmir. Anyway, so bottom line is, our Tanakama says it has the status of a kli, and therefore you can demolish it. And Reb Lezer says it doesn't have the status of a kli, it's the status of an oil, and therefore you'd be oiver on soiser. Robert, you had a question.
Yeah, what is the pshat en binyan b'kelim? We know that yesh binyan b'oichlin, which is even more far-fetched.
Yesh binyan b'oichlin?
Yeah, we're not allowed to shake ayam mitzvah, but we do on Shabbos, because we are not allowed to prepare the barbosta that doesn't know how to do it. That's why the man does the ayam mitzvah, in order not to make a binyan of yesh binyan b'oichlin. This is how I learned.
I'm not familiar with that concept. I'm not saying it's not accurate. I'm just saying I'm not familiar with binyan by Eichlin. Certainly, there is a problem if you have a birthday cake and somebody wrote happy birthday on it, then depending on whether they're hard letters or soft letters, whether you're allowed to go and break them, that would be a possible inyan of mechika. But here, we're not talking about mechika. Here, we're talking about binyan and stira. I'm not saying what you're saying is wrong. I'm just saying I'm not familiar, so I can't really respond. But we're not saying over here that we paskin like that. All the Maisa, all we're saying is that there's a machloek between the Tanakam and Reb Lezer. Tanakam lechayra holds that a migdal has a din of a kli, and therefore you're allowed to go and bash it open on Shabbos or Yom Tov to take out the contents. But Reb Lezer says, no, it has a din of an oil, and you're not allowed to. But Freit Dimara, Omer Abai, Vitizra, let me ask you a kasha. Well, Tanya, we have another Braisa. Oil, Vinisik, even if you have an oil, our Shinatev migdal, and you have Oig Melech HaBoshen, and he's able to go and push it, Vinisit, and actually moves, then it's Tomei. It is Tomei, even if it's an oil. While it's a Kli, Vinisit, if you have a very heavy Kli, you can have a Kli made out of, very heavy material, some heavy metal. If it doesn't move, then it's Tohar. So there's no distinction between oil and Kli. It really has a distinction between whether you're able to move it or not able to move it. Furthermore, Tani Seifa, what happens in the case of our Shida Teva Mikdal? This is the Sefer of that Mishnah before. It's really not the Sefer, it's a Tisefta. But it says there, remember we started off in Machloikis, 7-8 lines ago. If you banged on it, it's stomach. And it moved. Now the Sefer says, if they actually moved, then it's stomach. Even according to Mechem Reb Shimon, it's stomach. So this distinction that you wanted to make between kli and oil is really not true. Everybody agrees that if you are able to punch and as a result move the sheeted table migdal, it's tame. So what's the machloikis? Zehakla. Nisit machmas koichoi is tame. If he went and banged on it with his fist or with a piece of wood, and he was able to move it, everybody agrees it's tamei, it has a din of a kli, not a din of an oil. Or, like the Braisa said, even if it is an oil, if it moves, it's tamei. Machas Re'oda, however, if it moved because of Re'oda, Re'oda means an earthquake. Now, how would that make it tohar or tamei? So Rashi says the earthquake that we're talking about over here is that the Zav, instead of banging on the Shidat Tevet Migdal, he had a real big foot. And he went and banged down on with his foot on the ground, and he made such rumblings and such vibrations, it caused the oil to move. Now, obviously, we don't mean a 100-story building. What we mean is the Shida Teva Migdal was able to move as a result of his banging on the ground, the vibrations. Now, what's the difference between the Nisit Machmas Koichai and Machmas Ra'odah, says Rashi? Because this is Machmas Koichai means the Koichai pushed it. That's Hesed, it's stomach. If it's Ra'odah, then it's Koich Koichai. Because he himself didn't touch the Shita Teva Migdal. He only banged on the ground. And then the ground rumbled and made vibrations. That's Koich Koichai. And that's the Machloikis in that Mishnah. And therefore, has nothing to do with our Mishnah here. And therefore, Elo Abaye. So Abaye repeats again the machloikis there by Hilchas Tumah V'Tahara. It's not like we thought until now that the machloikis is between oil or kli, but rather the kuli alma hisit machmas koichoi dome. If this large sheet of tape of migdal moved as a result of banging its tummy. Mach Mr. Oda, if it moved because of his vibrations that he banged on the floor, it's tar. It's koich koichoi. What does that mean? Explains Rashi that he banged on it, he wasn't able to move it, but he was able to cause it to shake. You have this huge, huge box. It is so heavy, you're pushing it with all of your might, and you're banging on it. You're not able to get it to move, but you're able to get it to shuckle, to shake. That's machlekes b'chachamim. If Gemara says v'havi hesed, shaking is also hesed, even though it didn't move from its place. The fact that it shook, it becomes tummy. Gemara says v'havi hesed. No, this is gunish mit gunish. So tomorrow, okay. But what's the machlekes in our mishnah? V'mas nisim v'maykamim min lo abay v'rabbi dam tavayu a brand new pshat rabbi say brand new. You know what the form of the lock was over here? B'manul v'kotir b'nisna askina. It's talking about a lock where part of the mechanism of the lock was based on a rope that was sealed. Apparently with a key, you'd be able to open it up. But he doesn't have a key. So what do you do if you have a very tight rope that is enclosing the cabinet? You go and take a boisakin lemifzake. If you don't have a key, you go and take a knife, and you're going to go and cut it with a knife. Ah, Tanakhama said, "Look, Rabbi Yosi, the Amar Kol Hakelim Yitolim b'Shabbos Chutzim Masar Godol Yosi Shel Machreisha." Back in Masechta Shabbos, we learn Rabbi Yosi says that every single kli you're allowed to go and move, avad if it's a kli which is malachtei leheter, like regular forks and knives and plates, that v'shteitzer is nitl b'Shabbos. But even those things which are klisha malachta li'isr, you're allowed to go and move them for a dovra heter. What would be a dovra heter? We have back in Masechta Shabbos, for instance, if a person wants to go and crack open nuts, he's allowed to go and take a nutcracker, or he can go and take a hammer, even though a hammer is a klisha malachta li'isr, but you can use it to go and break open nuts. The only thing that you cannot go and take on Shabbos is masra gadol yosef shel machresha. Masa Gadol is a huge saw that you use for going and sawing down trees. Yosef Shel Machresha means the cutter on the bottom of a plow. Here, these are considered to be very, very precious and very, very expensive. And if somebody ruins those, there'll be a tremendous hefsid. That's what we call Mukta Machmas Chisoroin Kis. Okay, that's the Reb Yosi. So Reb Yosi holds that all came in the Tom B'Shabbos, you're allowed to go and move them. So, in our case too, you're allowed to go and take a knife and cut through the ropes. And that's why our Mishnah says, Har is a Erev. Reb Lezer Sovala Kereb Yit Nechemia, the Mafila Talis, Mafila Tarvat, and the Tonel Tzorech Tash Mishan. Reb Nechemia is a very, very strong, he might say, radical Shita. And Reb Nechemia holds that the only time you're allowed to go and use an object on Shabbos, even an object which is malach de leheter, like a talis, right? Everybody wears talis in Baruch Hashem and Shabbos, especially those people that are married. And those people that are not married at least wear a talis cotton. What happens if I want to take my talis and I use it as a cover over a bed because I'm freezing? Can I use my talis and put it over the table as a tablecloth? And put a plastic on top of it. Are you allowed to do that? Reb Nechemia says, no, no, no. I will not let them go. What's the reason why? Because you can only use it for Tzorech Tashmishan HaMeyuchad, those special tashmishan that it's meant for. A towel is meant to wear and not meant for a bedspread. It's not meant for the cover of a table, etc.
A towel or
anything. And therefore, says Rashi, what do you use a knife for? You use a knife, Rashi says, to cut bread, to go and cut food, to cut basar, etc. Are you allowed to use that knife to cut ropes? No. Why not? Because that's not the tashmish hamiyuchad. If you go and buy a sakin in a store to go and cut challah, or you buy a knife to go and cut bread or something, you're not going to use it for ropes. So even though you can use it to cut a rope, but that's not tashmish hamiyuchad, therefore Reb Chemi says, no good. So getting back to our Mishnah, According to the second shot, we're dealing with a Migdosh shel Eitz, and we're dealing with an Erev where the manul around it is based on the the manul, the lock is based on a mechanism involving a rope. Says the Tanakhama, you know why it's a good Erev? Because I can get to my Erev by cutting through the rope by using any normal, regular knife that's strong enough to go and cut through the rope. But Reb Lezer says, even if you have the best knife in the world, you're not allowed to use that knife on Shabbos, because Reb Nechemya holds you can only use a knife for Tashmishoy HaMiyuchad. Okay, on to the next Mishnah. Very, very simple. Mishnah's up to Mishnah. You have your Erev. You put your Erev at the 2,000 Amma yard line. Not really yard line, but you get the idea. The 2,000 Amma line. And you hope with it to be able to go and carry another 2,000 Ammas. And guess what? Nisgalgal chutz l'tchum. There came a wind and it blew your Erev away beyond the tchum, outside of your 2,000 Ammas. Oy, what am I going to do now? Or nafla olav gal. Or what happens if there was a collapse? A whole bunch of earth came and collapsed over this Erev.
That's not a wave?
A gal could be a wave in terms of a
ocean wave,
tidal wave, but it could also be a wave of dirt, like when you have a building collapse. Sandstorm was also called a gal. Or in Israel, what happens if the Erev got burned up? Or what happens if the Erev was truma and it was being used either by a kohen? According to Man Yom, that even a Yisrael can use truma, but it became tame. So now this Erev is either unreachable or unusable. What do we do now? So says the Mishnah, Miboy Joim, if this happened, Miboy Joim. Miboy Joim means it happened before. Bein Hashmoshois. Ain't a Erev. Then it's not a good Erev. Misha Chashecha. Whensoever it gets Chashecha, once it's after the Bein Hashmoshois, then how is the Erev a good Erev? So what the Mishnah is telling us is very, very simple, very elementary. The key point at when the Erev has to be valid and reachable and effective, all of that is at the time of Bein HaShemashes. So if before Bein HaShemashes it got rolled, or Naflol of Gal, it got covered over by this tremendous collapse, or it got burned, or it got Tamei, if it's before Joy Main Erev, because it was before Bein HaShemashes. B'chashecha, after Bein HaShemashes, it is a good Erev. Because by that time, who cares? The important thing is Bein HaShemashes, it was effective. Zok gets the Mishnah. Im Safik, what happens if I'm not sure if this happened before or if it happened afterwards? The Meir, Rebbe Yehuda, Oymim Arizeh Chamor Gamo. It has the status of a Chamor Gamo. Chamor Gamo means he's being pulled as if a tug of war. And Rashi says, what's the reason why we use this strange expression, Chamor Gamo? Because if you have a person that is leading two animals, a Chamor and a Gamol, Chamor is a donkey, a Gamol is a camel. Rashi says that a chamor usually walks in front of its ba'alim, of its owner, while a gomel walks in back of its owner. So if you have both of them, you're going to have to stand there in the middle, and the chamor, if he goes a little bit too quickly, he's going to be schlepping you, and then you're going to have to schlep the gomel. You can see how uncomfortable it would become. If you look at the Rashi, four lines into the wide lines down below, all the way down below, fourth wide line of the Rashi's. Rashi says, "Nimtze ze moishchei kan leilach v'ze moishchei kan lekan." Ki odem amadik chamor v'gomel shechamor hoylech lefanav. The donkey walks in front. V'ze manhigoy, he's trying to go and lead the donkey from the back. V'agomel hu moishich, and the gomel is behind him, and he has to go and slap it. Serach lefanav is lefanav lachrav. He constantly has to look back. He has to look frontwards towards the gomel, the chamor. It shouldn't go too quickly. He has to look back at the gomel. See, he's kind of in the middle of this tug of war. See, here too, he's in a tug of war. Now, what's the tug of war that we're dealing with over here? Since I don't know whether this was a good Erev or not a good Erev, I have to be machmir on both sides. And that is, let's assume the person made his Erev to the north. As you know, whenever you make an Erev, automatically you lose your tchum to the south in the other direction. Okay, so this person originally would have been able to go 2,000 northward and 2,000 amis southward. As a result of making his Erev in front, normally, if the Eidav would work, he'd be able to go 4,000 in front, in the north, and zero towards the south. But since he doesn't know whether this Eidav was good or not, he'll be able to walk altogether 2,000 Amis northward. He will not be able to walk 4,000 Amis northward, and he won't be able to walk anything southward. So therefore he loses both the front and the back. He's stuck in the middle, and that's the expression of Chamor Kam. I know it's a suffix, but it's still kosher. The obvious question is, why does Rabbi Yossi hold it's kosher? We're going to deal with that in a moment in the Gemara. Rabbi Yossi, the same Rabbi Yossi says, Avtulmus heyed mishim chamishas kenim, al suffix eidiv she kosher. Avtulmus said in the name of five sekenim, you have a suffix eidiv, it's kosher. Bottom line is, we have a machloikis between Rabbi Meir and Rabbi Yehuda, and Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon. Rabbi Meir says that because it's a suffix, I have to be machmir, the eidiv is no good. And Rabbi Yossi, Rabbi Shimon says, I'm going to be mekel, the eidiv is kosher. And we'll see in Mishim on the Amud Beis the reason for the machlokes. The first thing Mara tells us, that when we started off niskal gechutz l'tchum, and we say ein eidiv, it depends how far did it roll. Zok the Tanakam Omer, not the Tanakam, Zok the Mara, niskal gechutz l'tchum Omer lo v'lo yishon alish, niskal gechutz l'arba amois, that the wind draft blew it beyond four amois, so therefore I cannot get to my eidiv, and I lose my eidiv. Avot toich v'avot amois. However, if the Erev only rolled one Amah, or two Amahs, or three Amahs, no problem, I can still get to it. Even though you're not allowed to walk beyond 2,000 Amahs on Shabbos, if you put your Erev there, automatically you get an extension of four Amahs. And therefore, if the Erev went on a roll, three Amis, I could still go back and get it. Oh, I get it, put it back in its Mokum Erev, it's kosher, it's wonderful. If it went beyond four Amis, then it's irretrievable, and if this happened before Ben Ashmarches, no good. Now, Nofalel of God, what happens if a whole building collapsed on it, or at least you have a whole bunch of earth that collapsed on it? What's the din? Says our Mishnah, if it happened before Ben Ashmarches, no good. The Gemara says, I'm assuming that if he wanted to, he could get to it. Because we're not, at least the Gemara assumed in the Habamina, we're not talking about an avalanche of the World Trade Center, Chas V'Shalom. We're talking about a little bit of dirt fell on it. So what he has to do is put his hands in and extract the Eder from underneath the dirt. What's the maximum he's going to be over? He's going to be moving rocks. He's going to be moving some earth. So that's, of course, an Issur D'Rabbanan of its Muktzah. So if you want, they must see some Kerevi. Dear Kerevi, Amar Kol Davar Shemishum Shvus, like other Ben Hashmashes. If we're only concerned about Muktzah, he's only concerned about Muktzah during Shabbos itself, not Ben Hashmashes. If he's able to get to the Erev by just unearthing it with his hands, so what? So it's a din of muktzah. There's no din of muktzah ben hashmashos. Every ma'afil temi kerabi. It can go according to Rabbi Tola. It's not talking about just earth. It's talking about that so much came on top of this Erev, he's going to have to go and take a marav chatzina. Marav chatzina means a professional shovel or hoe to dig it out. So what's wrong with a shovel to dig out? Because when you're shoveling on Shabbos, you're either over on a toldah of choresh. Choresh means that you are plowing. Or if it happens to be within a building and you are being chofer, then it'd be a toldah of boneh or a soser, usually of boneh. Boneh would mean that you want to rebuild this building because all of that stuff has collapsed on the floor. It's not livable. So I take my shovel to go and remove all of that collapsed matter. Now I can live there again. So that would be a toldah bite.
Could also be a one of separating when you're moving dirt around.
I think separating is only by Oakland. I don't know what to apply here. But anyway, but the Gemara says, bottom line, that that's the reason why you cannot unearth it, because you'd have to be over a malacha d'araisa, and therefore Rebbe's halacha would not apply. Anyway, that's the reason why, if it happens before Ben Hashmashes, the Erev is no good. So the more it's Rechi. I need both the case. Which, with both cases? I need both the case of the nizgalgal and the case of novel olav gal. Because utrich itan nizgalgal, that the Erev rolled away. You know why it's no good mishum d'lesa gabe? Because he can't even get to it. If it's beyond four amis, it's not within reach. That's why the Erev is no good. Am novel of gal, the isa gabe, it may be difficult to unearth, but it's within his dalet amis. He's hovering over the Erev, hoping and praying to get to his Erev. And we'll have the Erev, so maybe the Erev should work after all. Maybe it'll be considered who bei ruven b'mokem mechad. Beitan enafel of gal mishum nemechse. It's totally concealed. There's no way you can get it unless he uses a bar of a chatzina. Am nizgalgo, if it rolled away, simdos iziku ma'isile. Just like one draft of a wind blew it away, another draft might be return it. It might be a ricochet. Aimily heavy, Erev may be an Erev. After all, Zimar Tzricha, Venam before Benish Moshes, forget about it, Rabbi Sai. Even if subsequent to Benish Moshes, it would blow back. Or even if after Benish Moshes, this Gal would fall away and he gets hold of the Erev, it's already too late. It's got to be reachable in hand during the time of Benish Moshes. Or the case of Nisraf, if the Erev got burnt, or it was Truma and became Tomei. Again, if it happened before Mipoy Yoim, Eineh, what do I have to have? Both cases. That even though the Erev has been burned to a crisp, says Rabbi Yossi, if it's a Sofek, still it's kosher. I come back after Benesh Moshes, I see that that entire area was consumed in a terrible fire, and therefore it doesn't exist any longer. Says Rabbi Yossi, when did the fire happen? Before Benesh Moshes or after Benesh Moshes? I don't know. Rabbi Yossi says, kosher, the Erev is okay. So even though the Erev is non-existent, it's okay because I have a suffix when it was destroyed. Tana Truma, v'nitmis l'dicha koichad rameir. That what? That even though the Truma is here, but because it's Tamei, says the mayor, it's a Safik. Did it become Tamei before? Did it become Tamei later? And therefore, you cannot carry with this Safik Erev. Frank Dimar, Vesemer Rameyer's Veikah L'chumra. In our Mishnah, we're saying that Rameyer holds that the Safik of this Erev is L'chumra, but not. I have a Mishnah. Now again, we're going to bring Raya from Tumah V'Tahara. What's the Raya from Tumah V'Tahara to Gabi Hilchos Erev? It all has to do with a chazaka. Can you rely on a chazaka or not rely on a chazaka? It's not. But now, we learned in the Mishnah. Push in the Mishnah, Tami Shiar lit boil. Person who is Tami, he went to take a tvila in the mikvah. Sovik tovel, sovik loy tovel. He doesn't know whether he toiveled or not. In other words, he may have forgotten whether he toiveled. Or maybe he's not sure whether he toiveled properly. Maybe part of his head was protruding, or maybe there was a chatzitza. He doesn't know for sure whether he was toivel. But filitovel, even if he knows for sure that he toivel, but something tovel bar boy himself, something tovel bar boy himself. He doesn't know whether the mikveh looked pretty low that day. It didn't look like a lot of water. Maybe he didn't have a boy himself. Or v'cheshnei mikvois, there were two mikvahs. V'achas yesh bar boy himself, v'achas ein bar boy himself. V'tovel b'achas ben, he certainly toivel. I know for sure I'm wet. I know I toivel. I don't remember which one. Was it the one that had the tall water or the one with the shorty water? In all these cases, sveike tamei. Why? Because since this person had a cheskas tuma, and I'm not sure whether he toiveled properly or toiveled at all, he can be moitzi midei chazor. But that's medabar mu mituma chamura. If you're talking about a tuma di oiraisa. We're talking about a tumah de rabbanan kigoyin, and now the Gemara mentions a bunch of tumahs from the Yud Ches Dovar that we had at the beginning of Masech the Shabbos, which are all mid rabbanan kigoyin. She'achal oichlim tumei v'shasam mashkin tumei. Person that ate food items that are tumei. A food item can't be matama person, but he ate the food items or drank the food items, then he becomes tumei mid rabban. V'abor roish v'rubay v'mayim shuvim, or a person who instead of going into a mikveh of rainwater, he went into Mayim Shuvim. Or water got poured over his head, three lugan Mayim Shuvim. And the Yorad lit boy. And then after all of these things happened, so that all of this happened, he is now for sure tummy, because he ate Oichel Tameim Shosim Mashke Tameim. Or for sure he toivel in this Maim Shuvim water. Or for sure Rosh Merubai water fell over him. Samid Rabbanan, the person is Tamei. And now the exact same Sveikas again. For Yard Litvar. And he went down to the mikveh. And he comes back. And somebody said, did you toivel? Savik toivel, Savik toivel. I'm not sure whether I toivel tonight. But for the toivel, even if I did toivel, Savik toivel bar boim sa, Savik toivel bar boim sa. The water was low. I don't know if it had 40 sa. V'cheshvei mikvois, biachas yesh bar boim sa, biachas ein bar boim sa. One was a kosher mikveh, one was not kosher. The toivel biachas men ben yedeh be'ezim en toivel. In all of these cases, says the Tanakama, which is Remeir, Sveikoi tohar. Sveikoi tohar. Why is it Savik tohar? He had a chazoka that he was tameh. And I don't know whether or not he lost his tumah. But the answer is because the suffix over here was a suffix by not tumah d'oraisa, but tumah midrabanan. Ah, it's talking about truma midrabanan, and that's why sveikitar. Well, isn't chumen also midrabanan? And if chumen is midrabanan, then again, I have here also the same suffix, whether the Erev was still in existence at the time of Enish Moshes or not. Ich weiß nicht. So why don't I say again, the suffix should be Tor, or the suffix should be Kosher Erev. Yoisi is Metama. We'll talk about Rabbi Yoisi Mitchem tomorrow. But Zokimara Kosoverim, as I hope you have a share, Stira Meir Remeir. Here in the case of the Tchumen, which is Midrabanan, Remeir holds that the suffix is Lahachmir, and here by the Tvila of a Tumah Midrabanan, the mayor is Sofik is Mako. Every Mara, because of Rameh Tchum Dra Raisa Ninu. After all, Rameh was a Talmud of Rabbi Shmuel and Rabbi Akiva, like we had back on Daf Yud Gimel. But one of them was Rabbi Akiva, and Rabbi Akiva holds Tchum Dra Raisa. Rameh also holds Tchum Dra Raisa. So therefore, our Mishnah is a Sofik Dra Raisa Lechumra. That's why the Erev, I have to be Machmer, and he's a Chamer Gam. Great Mara. So Rameh Tchum D'Yaraisa, is it Rameh really holds Tchum D'Yaraisa? But now we learned in the Mishnah. Later on in Miyat Hashem, we're going to learn this in another couple of weeks. Emeini Yochel Av Liyoi, Zuham Rabbi Sistoi, Rabbi Yane Mishim Rameh Shemat, Yishim Mekadrim Bahorim. Before you're not here? You have six? Okay. With Mindy, without Mindy, you have six. So you have six, and there are two. I haven't davened yet, Rabbi Niel has, but hopefully two more will come and be Mitzad. And Mishnah will have to leave. Good. Ezok Yetzi Mishnah, the Gemara Yetzvaiter, Vatanan Men Yochel Avdioi, Bezuam Reb Destoy, Reb Yanim Mishim Reb Meir. Shemat Yishem Mekadrim Beharim. I heard that you can be Mekadrim Beharim. What is this all about, this Mekadrim Beharim? So, Bekitzur, we're going to learn this from Yetzim a little bit later on in our Mitzvah. A person is measuring out the Tchum. Sorry?
Barrels?
No, barrels.
Okay.
The person is measuring his tchum shabbos after he allowed to walk 2,000 amos. So he wants to know where's 2,000 amos end. Now, if it all happens to be flat land, that's pretty easy. Later on, we're going to learn you measure by using a chevel, a rope of nun amma of 50 amos, and therefore each 50 amos, you go and take the chevel and you move it another 50 and another 50, and you do that 40 times, 40 times 50, yeah, okay, 40 times 50. I daven to Bor Shomar, so I'm up to Bor Shomar, they should continue on, should start up. 40 times 50 is 2,000. So you can use this chevel 40 times, you get 2,000 amps. That's what we call to, so that's flat land. Now what happens if it said flat land from here to the end of my 2,000 amps, there are valleys or there are hills. Let's talk about a valley. If I were to go and measure as I'm walking, so I have to walk down the valley and walk up the valley to get to the other side. The valley is, let's say, 30, 40, 50 feet wide. I can't jump over it, especially not on Shabbos. So what am I going to do? I'm going to have to walk down and walk up. How do I measure that? Do I measure the walking down below? Even though when I come to the top, from one end of the valley to the other end of the valley was, Lamarshal, 25 feet. However, walking down and walking up, I had to walk 100 feet to 200 feet. So, what's the din? So we'll see, Mir Hashem, that if it's up to 50 amois in width from one end to the other, you're mavliya. You ignore the valley down below, and you have the benefit. So, you have two people. one standing at the top of the valley on the right, one standing on the other end of the valley on the left. Between the two, there's only 49 or 50 amas. They're holding this chevel. Yes, and the chevel is the length of the opening of the valley. It's deemed to be 50 amas. It's not deemed to be 100 amas or 500 amas. It's 50 amas. But what happens in Yochlavli? It means that it's even wider than that. But the same thing applies also to a mountain, to a mound. That you have to climb up the hill and climb down the hill. Same halacha applies. So what happens, however, if it's wider than 50 amas? So then the Gemara says, you're mekadrin baharim. Mekadrin baharim means that you have two people, and each one holds on to the chevel, and not a chevel of chamishim amma, but a chevel of four amois, and one holds it at his heart, and one holds it, in other words, at his chest, the other holds it at his legs. In other words, think of walking up the hill. So you cannot just go and be mavliya it, because it's more than 50 amas. But instead, you're going to take these shorty chavolim of four amas each. So Reuven is going to stand at the foot of the hill, and he's going to hold the chevel, the rope, at his chest. Shimon climbs up a little bit higher in the hill, and he takes it to his legs. Once you hit four amas, stop. Then Shimon picks up that same rope, again puts it at his chest, and then Reuven walks higher, and now he measured it to his legs. By doing this, as Rashi, we save ourselves shir chatzi koimas odam. In other words, you fadin, you gain half of the person's height, because if you're going to go from one person to the other, chest to chest, or feet to feet, then it's going to be a long way to the top of the mountain. The other side of the mountain, you lose a lot of your 2,000 amas. This way, at least, you gain between each person and the next, within the four amas, half of the body height. We'll talk about this more, Mirchem, when we get to it. But the point about all of this is, Amrav this tonight, in many yochel avluyoi, it's more than 50 amas that you can't go and just swallow it up with your 50 amah chevel. That you can go and make the Kadim Baharim with this 4 amah chevel that we just spoke about. So the Marvis al Gadai, the Tchumin Dir Raisa, you're going to call me Tchumin, is Min HaToyra, like Reb Meir says, Mi Mekadrin, can you use these types of kulois? From Rav Nachman of Barbavua, Ein Mekadrin Li Barim Mikl Barim Begla Rufa, Neishain Shal Toyra. We have the same concern, Legabi Ori Miklat. What's Ori Miklat? You have a Rotzeach Bishogeg. He is allowed to go and live in the Ori Miklat. What happens if he leaves the Ori Miklat? Chas V'Shalom, the Goel Adam can go and shoot him. Except if he's within 2,000 amis of the Ori Miklat. Because just like you get a Tchum on Shabbos, you get a Tchum on the Ori Miklat. Same thing as the Egla Rufa. Egla Rufa is, you find Chas V'Shalom a mess, you have to measure to the closest town, to the closest village. What happens if between where the mess is and the villages, you have crevices, you have valleys, you have mountains? You have to go and measure, and the question is, how do you measure it? Here you don't have the heter of the mikadrin. Both are a miklat, if you have a valley in between, or you have a hill in between. Or the Egla Rufa, you have a valley, or you have a hill between the mess and the closest city. There you don't say that you're Mekadi Baharim. Why? Because this is not a drabbanan. These are the arises. Here you're going to be machmir. There are no shortcuts, no loopholes, no leniencies. But we do have that leniency here, Legabi Hilchais Tchumen. And who's the one that said that? It was Mishim Remeir Shamati Shemekad Baharim. But Remeir told me, Hot Tchumen Diaraisa. So Manishdana, why is there a difference between Deiruvi Tchumen and the Dinavari Miklat and Egla Rufa? Remeir on his own holds the Tchumen is Diaraisa. However, the Gabi the Mekadim Baharim, Remeir said, Shamati Shemekadim Baharim. Remeir didn't say that on his own. He heard it from his Rebbe. Says the Gemara, Dekanami, Dektoni, Bezu, Amr, Rebbe, Nistoy, Bariani, Mishum, Remeir, Shamati Shemekadim Baharim. Shmami, no, what does he mean, Shamati? Says Rashi, heard from one of his Rebbe's, not Rebbe Kiva. Because Rebbe Kiva holds that Tchumen's Deraisa. So he must have heard from Rebbe Shmuel or another Rebbe. Shmami, no. I have even a steer, a mayor, a mayor, a deraisa. Not. If a person, you want to do me a favor, just close the window. Thank you. 3 second break, Rabbi Sayyid. Oh, perfect. Shkoyer.
Thank you.
Thank you. Did not. We learned the Masechtas Taharis. Very famous case. You have two or three people sleeping together in a dormitory, and the beds or the mattresses are very close to one another. And as you know, when people sleep, they have a tendency of kind of moving around from time to time. If you don't, you know other people, I'm sure that do. Anyway, during the night, as he's rolling in his bed, he knows that he hit the person to his right or to his left. Avadi, he assumes that the guy is alive because they both said Kriya Shema together a couple of hours ago. He doesn't know, and he assumes he's alive, and never he hit him, he probably says, I'm sorry, excuse me, and he turns the other side. Well, the next morning he wakes up, Hishki Mitzoyim Meis, he says, oh, I can't believe it. That guy that I went and I tilted and I banged and I hit him, he didn't kill him as a result, but the guy's dead. Now the question is, this fellow that hit him, did he go, does he become Tomei? Now, I said it was in a dormitory room. That would not be a good idea, because in a dormitory room, he'd be anyway Tomei out to Messiah. So we're talking about it's time of social distancing. They didn't do a lot of distancing between one mattress and the other, but at least they were over Tachas Kanfei Shemayim, Kanfei Harikia. They were out in the open. And Nebuchadnezzar touched this guy. Now, he says to the guy, tell me, when did you die? And the person refuses to respond. So I don't know, did the toucher touch the touchee when the touchee was still alive? And then, of course, he's tahar. Or did the toucher touch the touchee after he already passed away? This is a very touching situation. So what do we do? The mayor says, Matayer, I hold these tahar. Why does the mayor hold these tahar? Because the mayor says, you go basa chazaka. When the person went to sleep, he lay in Krishma, I know he was alive at that time. Now, there's no question that he died at some time subsequent to that, because he's dead now. I will assume that he died at the very last moment, 2 minutes ago, before I woke up. When I hit him 3 o'clock in the morning, he was still alive. I go after the chazak. After all, the person lived for 20, 30, 50, 80, 100 years before he died, so I assume he was alive. He go bas the chazak and he's talking. And the chamar the tam. The reason why the chamar says tam, shekol hatumois kishas mitziyasa. Whenever you have a shayla of tumah v'tahara, you don't start going back in history what happened an hour ago, 3 hours ago. You just go and see what the facts are now on the spot as you see them. There's no question about it that the guy is dead now. So I don't know whether he died a minute ago or an hour ago or 5 hours ago, but kishas mitziyasa, he's dead. I have to assume that when I touched him, he was never dead. So now, Freitag Nimara, I have the same shayla over here. I have now a case where there was a chazaka that he was chai, that the person was alive. I don't know when he died. He didn't die. The mayor goes lekula and he's mitaher. Barry, I'm sure, is thinking to himself, is it talking about Bishus Rabin, Bishus Yachid? And Toysi says, the second Toysi is talking about Bishus Rabin, Suffolk to Bishus Rabin, is Tahar. It's got to be Bishus Rabin because it would be Bishus Yachid inside a room. Look, I would have the dinner of Tumas Oyel. Anyway, I'm the second Toysi. So getting back to Agamara now, so I have now a steer, a mayor, a mayor. Here in our Mishnah, a mayor holds by Tchumin, I have a Suffolk whether or not this truma was tohar or tameh at the moment of Bein HaShemashes. I am machmir, and I have to assume that it was tameh. Here I'm not sure whether the person touched the guy at 3 o'clock in the morning, whether he was tohar or tameh. I said he has a chazaka that he was tohar. Both of the Araisa, why is Rameir machmir in our Mishnah? Why is he metair and mekel in that other Mishnah? It's talking about that there was a sheretz on top of that
mess.
Not on top of the mess. The mess died. It's talking about on top of the truma from the beginning of Bein HaShemashes to the end of Bein HaShemashes, the entire time. So it's not a situation where the sheretz only arrived on the scene possibly post Bein HaShemashes. I know for sure that there was a sheretz already there before Bein HaShemashes. As opposed to the case of the mess, I don't know whether he died at 3 o'clock or 4 o'clock or 5 o'clock. Frank Gemara, 1 second. You're telling me you know for a fact that the sheretz is on the truma, the whole benish mashes. If there's a sheretz on it, the whole benish mashes, the chavada that it's tamei. What is this sofik? Zishka sofik. It's the chavada. Truth of the matter is, going to Remeir, it's also shver. Why did it say in Remeir in the Mishnah, it's a chamer gamel that I'm machmim, it's not sofik? It's nishka sofik, it's the chavadai that there is no Erev. If there was a dead sheretz here from beginning of Benish Moshe to the end of Benish Moshe. So Zoki Mora Tzvei Terutzim. Rabbi Rabbi Yossi Jom Tamayu, Hocha Mishnei Kitei Eidem Askina. There are two peers of Eidem. Ach, Semeres, Mboi, Join Nitme, Viach, Semeres, Mishach, Hashecha. Here again about this truma, this taka a sheretz on top of it, the entire bein hashmashes. But when did this sheretz expire? As you know, only a dead sheretz is metame, not a live sheretz. So one of the two peers of Adam say, I was looking at the watch, it was 6:37, it was before bein hashmashes, and we know for a fact that this truma became tame. The other cat says, I'm very, very sorry, your watch must be broken. I saw that the sheretz expired at 6:47 or 6:57, whatever, after bein hashmashes. So we have no machlokes between these two kitayim. Says Remeir, since I have, normally I hold that when you have a sofik legabe, when did something become tamei, you say, give the item or the person a chazaka of tahara. And that's why in the case when I bent over and I touched Nebuch, this dead guy, I assumed that he was alive and kicking at the time. He only died later on. You go bus a chazaka of tahara. The reason I can't go by chazaka of tahara over here is because I have one peer of Adam and say, tame, tame, yeah, they're saying he was a tame. So the chazaka never falls away, and that's the reason why in our Mishnah it's a suffik kashokel, two peers of Edom, I can't go bus a chazaka, and that's why he's a chamer gam. Well, Rava says I have a totally different terrace. Rava Omar Hasim Trey Chazaki Lakula Vachachad Chazaka Lakula. Well, what is Rava saying? Rava says, even in the case of the Noga B'Echad, the person that touched the other fellow during the middle of the night, let's assume that there were two Edim or two Kiti Edim at that time too. Where one Kat Edim says, when you hit him and punched him in the nose, he was still alive. Because I remember right after you punched him in the nose, he started coughing. And he was having respiratory distress because you punched him in the nose. And the other guy says, this guy was a goner. Already at 12 o'clock he expired, and you're dreaming that he was coughing at 3 o'clock. You were coughing at 3 o'clock. This person was dead. So he had two kiti eitim. One said that he was dead, and one said that he was alive. Zotach yetz rava. Hazem trei chazaki lekula. There you have two chazakos. What are two chazakos? Chazaka number one, that the person who died was alive until now. He's been alive for the last 20 years, 30 years, 50 years, 80 years. Hamid meis al chazkasai, that he was alive until 2 minutes ago. He was a chai. Number two, the person who came and touched him was a tohar until now. You have a shaila, did he become tamei? Hamid negeya al chazkasai, and he's also tohar. So you have two chazakos that will be makom, both on the dead guy that he was alive at 3 o'clock, and on the person who touched him, that he, when he touched him, he was tohar, and he remained tohar until now. Two chazakas. In the case of our Mishnah, we only had one chazak. What is that? That the truma was becheskes tahar until now. But maybe the sheretz expired before, maybe expired later. I don't know. I only have one chazaka, so therefore I cannot go lekula. I can only go lechumra, and that's why in our Mishnah he's a chamer gamel. In the case over there, in the Mishnah, you have the din by the tor that touched Nebuch, a person that was perhaps mess. I have two chazakas, therefore I make him, and I say that he is tohar. He's tohar, tohar, yeah. We'll stop over here. We'll talk about Kashrut Rabbi Yossi tomorrow. But Rabbi Yossi, when I learned this last time, I told you the famous story that I heard from Rav Horovitz. Rav Horovitz is the Ruv of the Agudas Yisrael in Buru Park. And he told the story. I'm sorry, is that Brother Shai?
The one where he was told not to write in the Gomorrah.
Oh, Brother Shai remembers the story.
So, 2.5 years.
Yeah, Shkoyach. So Rav Horowitz said this at an Aguda convention, I don't know, maybe 3 machzorim ago, 2 machzorim, Lechshinish. But he said, B'shem the Noida Behuda, that the Noida Behuda, step back a moment. Nowadays, any shul that you go to, any besmedrish, any yeshiva, Baruch Hashem, is blessed with many, many shasim. Especially many people at home have 1 or 2 or 3 shasim. But this wasn't the case years ago. Many people did not have a shas at all, and even a shul or a yeshiva had maybe 1 shas. So it was a bachur that came to Noida Behuda. Noida Behuda was a very wealthy individual. He was the Ruv of Prague, and he had a big, big bibliothek, a big library in Prague. In fact, they say that the Shagas Aryeh, who was a contemporary, who was a Goyin Oilam, Goyin Otzim, visited the Noida Behuda, and when he saw the library, he said, if I would have all of those svarim, I wouldn't be able to learn half as well as I can learn today, because I was always challenged. I didn't have any svarim, so I had to go and figure out all the sugyas on my own. Anyway, a bacher came to Noida Behuda and said, we're going to learn Erevin this man in yeshiva, and I need a gemara. Can I borrow a gemara Erevin? So Noida Behuda says, yes, you can borrow it, but on 2 conditions. Condition number 1 is, don't write your name in the sefer. Don't write your name. Number 2, don't write any hagois. Hagois are glosses on the side. Don't write any hagois in the sefer. Fine, don't worry, Rebbe, I won't do it. Sure. 6 months later, he comes back. Rebbe, I have the Gemara back for you. Thank you very, very much. And Noida Behuda asked him, tell me, did you keep the 2 conditions? Of course, I did not write my name. I didn't make any hagois. No hagois. One time I made hagois. One time. What was the one time? There was an obvious mistake in the Gemara. I corrected it. He had to correct it because it was a mistake. What was the mistake? It said in the Mishnah, Hari zechamor gamol. The chamor means a chamor, meaning a donkey. A gamel means a camel. You're either a chamor or a camel. You can't be both. So obviously it's a mistake. So that word gamel, I'm sure, means gomor. A chamor gomor. So the difference between gomor and gamel is the resh, that little shtickel on top, the lamed. So I went and I erased the top of it. So it says, harizeh chamor gomor. So now it makes sense. That was the only hagah. So the Noida Behuda told him, not only did you violate the first Tanai about not making any hagois, about making any changes, you violated the other Tanai about not writing your name in the Gemara. Have a wonderful day, Rabbi Yisai. 8:05 tomorrow morning. Zai Gesund. Not 8:05. 7:45 tomorrow. 7:45. 7:45 tomorrow. Have a wonderful day. Zai Gesund.
What time is the war in Shul?
Officially 6:45.